I want you to listen carefully to the words I'm about to speak to you. You Baptist people, for the most part, have habitually learned how to act robotically at church. It's your nature to be that way. Where'd you sit last time you came? You sit right where you're sitting right now. And we got a built-in mechanism in our hear, understand, and come down in our heart that is just Adamic. Listen to what I say, because if you don't hear this right, you'll take it wrong. And you'll go away from here and you'll say, what's the use? What we're doing here today is the best thing we can do this side of Jesus' return. Are you listening real good? Because some of you are going to fall prey to this. Some of you will be a casualty. You will be a casualty in the strife and the warfare that we fight. What we're doing up here today is the best we can do. But if this was all there were to it, I'd quit today and wouldn't come back. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. If all there were to it was what we got going on here, and next Sunday and next Wednesday, I'd quit today and never would come back. Now, that kind of discourages people. But do you know why the churches are falling away and people are quitting? You know why? They've lost their vision. This is all there is to it. This is all there is to it. We just sang a new song, I'll Have a New Body. We just sang a song that says, I got a mansion. This ain't all there is to it. If all it were to it for Abraham was to get over there in Canaan land and wallow around with Abimelech, I could see him quitting. But the scripture says he endured as seeing him who is invisible, and he looked for something down the road. Did he not? See, he buried Sarah over there. Abraham, guess you know she died. He took him another wife, had about 10 more kids. At least 10, had 10 sons. Abraham, Keturah. But he looked for a city which had foundation he had never saw. He looked for a country, and he was not mindful of the country that he came out of. God made a promise to Abraham, and he died not having received that promise. And if you live long enough here before Jesus comes back, you're going to die not having received your promise. But you endure, accounting that he is faithful. This is not all there is to it. And why? The reason why the devil is decimating our churches, because this is all people get out of it. Time to go to church. Time to go down there. We know what Tim's going to do, what Chris's going to do. We know what Brother Glenn's going to do. We know what Brother Herb's going to do. We know everything about what's going on. And we come in here like zombies and robots. And we don't see the Lord. We don't look. Why we look not at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. All this stuff is temporal. Temporal. And I refuse to come down here and set my looking eyes on you and let you discourage me. How about that? Amen? You look around, people, you know, you get discouraged. We look above. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We set our affection on things above. Seek that which is above. Look above. Look above. Look to the promises that we got in the Bible. This is not all there are to it. Man, all I got to do is get to the end of what my allotted days are. Faithfully. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then I've got soul rest now, but I'm going to enter into real rest then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so let me encourage you here today that you don't get hung up and this is all there are to it. Time to go to church. No, it's not all there are to it. We do what we do because we want to be faithful to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. But we're living for the future. If you was in China right now under oppression and trying to have church services and that idiot was wanting to kill you for doing it, you wouldn't be so much worried about what you're going to do after church. You're going to be thinking about your heavenly home. And so we got to get our eyes where they're supposed to be. Look above. Look to where Christ sitteth. Look to these promises. I'll have a new life. I'll have a new body. Sown in weakness. I'm getting weaker every day. I'm dying. Adam's curse is upon me. I've come to terms with it. I'm dying. Bless the hearts of people. I'm going to go to a funeral tomorrow for a man that changed multiple body parts out in the last 10 years of his life. Now, before you say, well, I ain't going to do it, well, wait till you get there before you say you ain't going to do it. I'm not faulting him for it. I'm just saying he died anyway. You can't make Adam's body live forever. God put a flaming sword and a cherubim at the east of Eden and said, you're not going back in there, either tree of life in that body. And what we've got now in America, we won't live forever like we are as a rebel before God and not submit to the Lordship of Christ and live like we are and keep a sinning just like we're doing. So you got victories in Jesus. I got a mansion over there, streets of gold. Amen. That's what I got out of that singing a while ago. Luke chapter 12. This is not all there are to it. We're looking beyond this. We do not draw back, but endure, believing him who is faithful to the promise. Luke's Gospel chapter 12. Enjoyed the teaching of the word, both in the devotion this morning and in the Sunday school. It's a blessing to be able to have the Lord's word, read it, study it, meditate upon it, let it correct me, encourage me, everything that I need. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in this life. All right, I'm reading verses 49 through 53. If you got a red letter edition King James Bible, these words will be in red. That means these are recorded as verbatim to what Jesus spoke. Okay, we're in the mind of God. You understand that? We're in the mind of God, not the opinions of men. These are the words of God. Now, he's talking here about a faithful steward and all of that and people giving up. Just what I talked about. Verse 45, that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, begin to have a fight, and the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not. So he's talking about a faithful servant. Then he changes the narrative in verse 49, okay? And that's where I want to pick up. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter in law against her mother-in-law. We'll stop our reading right there. My thought this morning is found in verse 49 and verse 50. I want to preach on straitened in the fire of Christ. Straitened in the fire of Christ. The world has a perception about Jesus. They've got a God of their own imagination. They imagine who Jesus is. Most of them, he's a figure of their imagination after their likeness. Well, Jesus must be just like me. If I'm a mean, old, crass, hard, you know, well, that's how God is, and that's how I witness to him, that's how I portray him. If I'm a lovey-dovey, a fuzzy, warm, fluffy feeling deal, and everything's not bad and don't want to be on the outs with anybody, that's how Jesus is to me. Yep. If I'm indifferent, cold, and uncaring, and calloused, that's how Jesus is to me. If I don't care about lost souls like Calvinists are and do, yep. If I'm a hard shell, yep, and believe that them just going to who's been elected, is the one's going to get in, then that's how my God is. And they bring a doctrine like that. They preach that's their gospel. But the Bible shows us who Jesus Christ, the Savior, really is. Okay? And we look to what the Scriptures speak about Jesus' attitude, how he thought, how he acted, the way he dealt with people, what he said, what he didn't say. And we look to the Scriptures to formulate in our mind our image of God. That's how we do. Now let me tell you what Jesus did not, who he was not like, and how he is pictured. He's not like the Renaissance painters painted him. They painted a little weak, hollow-eyed Jesus that looked like he was emaciated, going around and just barely could get along in the world, and he had this kind of a weird look on his face, kind of like a queer, amen, because most of them painters that painted him was a bunch of reprobate queers. They were wicked men. And religion was a big deal back then because they didn't have TV. And Rome controlled the world. The Holy Roman Empire. And those Renaissance painters were Protestants. Okay? And I don't want to get in there because I'll use every minute I got preaching it right there. But Christ is not portrayed by the way those men painted him. When John the Baptist introduced him, listen to what he says. This is John. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, born of women, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. How'd he preach? O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Listen now, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit. What is good fruit? What is good fruit? Well, good fruit's what I imagine good fruit to be. No, good fruit is the character of Jesus Christ. The character of Jesus Christ. You've got to bring forth his fruit. Now, the only way you can bring forth his fruit is if you've got his seed in you. The seed has to be incorruptible. And we preached on the Spirit last night and all that's involved in that. So, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But here's John had never seen Jesus when he spoke this. Never saw him. But he was a prophet. And God gave him a message. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And God told John what to preach. And John's vision or the image of Christ, who Christ would be. Here's what he says. There cometh one after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's John's vision of Jesus Christ. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus Christ, before anybody ever saw him, he was portrayed, he was presented, he was preached as one who would bring the fire. Okay? That doesn't look like this little hollow-eyed Jesus that they paint. I don't like paintings of Jesus. Okay, you see them scattered around, and I know people's got them, and they've made idols out of them, and they're relics. And if you don't believe they're an idol, just say, you need to take that down. And they'll cast you out of the synagogue if you tell them to take that down. These paintings of Jesus in the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, the night before he's betrayed, are not true. You don't make an image of God. You don't paint an image of him because you will definitely mess it up. And what I'm saying this morning is that most of our minds, the way we think about the Lord, are corrupt because we've got a corrupt imagination. We've got a corrupt imagination. We think he's just like us. He's not like us. He's made higher than the heavens. He's different from all form of men. And so we need to get it in our mind who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So we understand that Jesus Christ was not like what most people think he has. Now, If you have His Spirit, and His Spirit was brought up two times here this morning. I preached on it last night. If you have the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, 9, he is none of his. You do not. So if you see, your spirit is dead toward God. It's dead toward God. You have no life toward God. What is God? What is God? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You can't worship God in the flesh. You come down here and you're mad at Brother Glenn, or you're mad at Robert, or you're upset, or you don't like somebody. You ain't worshiping God. You're worshiping the person your attention's upon. Your mind, your fallen state. You're controlling the worship. God is a spirit. You must worship God in the spirit and in the truth. So what God does in our dispensation, your spirit dead toward God in what we call getting saved, born again, regenerated, God makes your spirit alive. He quickens you on the inside so that you can have relationship and fellowship with Him. Now, that spirit is the spirit of Jesus Christ. He's named in the Bible the Holy Ghost. He's named in the Bible the Holy Spirit. But it is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not three gods. There's one God in three persons, three manifestations, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are equal. Jesus made himself equal to God as far as the Jews knew, and they took up stones to stone him. He is equal with God. And so you have to have His Spirit in you. Now, if you say you're a Christian, you are a Christian. You are Christ-like. Not because of your natural man. I look at your natural man, none of y'all look like Jesus. And not many of us act like Jesus. And so we have to have our mind renewed. Be not conformed to the world and the way it thinks, but be ye transformed. Well, how am I transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You take your thoughts out, you put Bible scriptures in, casting down imagination. Everything you imagine, you cast it down. Well, you know, I feel like cast it down. I'm not operating on your feelings. Listen, if I was going to trust anybody's feelings in this church, you know who I'd trust? I'd trust mine. And I definitely don't trust my feelings. So what am I thinking about your feelings? I don't care what you feel. What impresses me about a Christian is what they say. Is it in line with the scriptures? Not your feelings. You can't trust your feelings. Most people wear their feelings on their shoulders. That's why they're so easy to get hurt. Oh, you hurt me. Well, man, don't wear your feelings out on your shoulders. Amen. You know you're appointed to persecution. Okay, I'm going to preach a message probably at the fifth Sunday meeting. Can I give you the title? Can I give you the title? God's already gave me the message if they let me preach. Are you worthy? Are you worthy? Are you worthy to suffer shame? Are you worthy? The disciples were beat for his name's sake, and they counted themselves happy that they were worthy to suffer shame. You know, you're to go without the camp, bearing his reproach. What is his reproach? Well, here's some of his reproach. Peter said, "Not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." You ever had anybody in church treat you that way? You ever had anybody in church say, "No, that's not the right way. You're not doing right." That's bearing his reproach. You're called to suffer for his name's sake. We don't do that very good, do we? Oh, so you cast down imaginations. You don't live by your feelings. You don't trust yourself. You trust the living God, and you look to his word. Amen. It is said of one man that I know, this is a testimony of people down there, and it's just a saying, and I don't but it is true if you talk to him. He said, "Man, you cut that guy, he bleeds scriptures. You cut him, he bleeds scriptures." Now, what that means, and I know him well. As a matter of fact, he's my cousin. What they're saying about him is, you talk to him, he's going to talk to you about the Bible. Amen. He has replaced his thoughts, his imagination, with the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You have to take your thoughts out. you don't trust Him, your mind is renewed that you may prove, that you may prove what is that good and holy and acceptable will of God. So you listen, a lot of people sitting on church pews today in our churches do not live by the Scriptures. They live by their thoughts. They live by their feelings. They get mad very easily. They get hurt very easily. Amen, brother. Well, you've never been hurt. I've been hurt a lot. And I can wallow in the self-pity of my hurt if I choose to. But then I read that Jesus Christ was hurt too, more than any man, and I'm supposed to have partake of some of that. Through much tribulation, we entered into the kingdom of God. See, we're just little babies. What does a little, come on, what does a baby do if it doesn't get his way? You'll probably hear one. You know, I got a bunch of babies in my church. And when they don't get their way, and somebody taps them maybe, or twists on them, or pinches their ear, or even a little bit, they squall out. That's how adult Baptists sitting on pews are. Amen? Amen. We squall out because we don't get our way. Who told you you're supposed to get your way in everything? Where'd you learn that at? Who told you you're supposed to get your way? Why didn't Job get his way? Why didn't Joseph get his way? What did Joseph do to get what he got? Okay, so what I'm telling you is, if you are a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you definitely want to be one. There's some horrible aspects of not trusting the Lord and getting saved from your sins. We preach that quite regularly here and in our churches. If you're a Christian, you have His Spirit. You cannot be a Christian and not have His Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit, that's His Spirit, he's none of His. You're not a child of God if you don't have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. I preached last night, there's liberty, there's abundance of life, there's joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy. That's what people see in you, okay? So they don't see squall bag. They don't see Mr. Mad. Amen. They don't see Mr. or Mrs. easily hurt. They don't see easily offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall by in any means offend them. We get offended so easily. Listen, if anybody has a right to be offended, it's God. Amen. Not us. And we make excuses for things that offend us. Get your mind right. Get your head on right according to the Scripture. So you've got His Spirit. If you have His Spirit, then you've got what I'm preaching on. Now listen to me. My message is straightened in the fire of Christ. You can't be saved and not have that. Those words are important. I got a church member, when I start preaching on a word, he laughs. He sneers. Don't wouldn't you like to know which one that is since you know them all? He sneers because he's been taught that you don't do particular words, and you don't, you know, if you say, well, you know, if you go through it and you look up, what is that, the definition of that in a Strong's Concordance, well, listen to me. Words are important. If they're not important, get you a new King James. You want one of them? You want a new King James? Takes out the these, the thou. No, you want to. So you're telling me that pronouns are important. You better believe they're important. And I'm telling you, when you read things like, I have a baptism to be baptized with, how I am straightened till it be accomplished, you've got a measure of that in you. You're supposed to have a measure of that in you. My question to you today is, when you examine yourself and you stand at the mirror, you know, His Word, the mirror, we see ourselves, we behold ourselves, a man seeing his natural face in a glass, James chapter 1, being hearers of the Word, doers of the Word and not hearers only. But if we don't do what His Word said, we go our way, or straightway we forget what manner of man we are. You leave here in 3 hours. You ain't thought about nothing that's been said. You know, I tell my people all the time, I can preach on sanctification. And I said, how many of y'all thought about that yesterday? See, God has designed the assembly so we can come and have our minds renewed. It's not wrong for you to think about raising children, doing your job. You should think about that. You can't walk around all day thinking Bible. It's not, that's not, God said 6 days you're going to work and the seventh day you rest and you think about it then. Now, I'm not telling you it's wrong to go around, but I'm just telling you we're occupied. But when we come to the assembly, the Lord constantly reminds us. And when you slow down long enough, you can meditate on it. You can pray about it, okay? It takes time to do that. You can't pray just driving down the road. Well, I pray driving down the road. Is that all you give him? Why didn't you take 10 minutes out and pray before you started driving? How about giving him, you know, something more than just, okay, Lord, I'm going for the donuts. Let me talk to you a little while. No, he deserves way more better than that. Let me tell you, here, what did Jesus do when he got ready to call the apostles? Bible says he went out into a mountain all night and prayed. And when the morning came, he called the 12 unto himself. He prayed all night. He gave God his... See, that's our spirit. That's the spirit we're supposed to have. Not this little flippant junk we got, and here we come. We come boiling in church. We come running out. You know, it's supposed to be more. What I'm saying is it's supposed to be more than that. So we've got his spirit in us. And Luke 12:50 right here says, he said, how I am straitened till that which I have been apprehended for, I am straitened till it be accomplished. I want to know if you got any straitened in you. Do you have any straitened in you? Jesus said, I've come down here for a purpose, a mission. You know, God's got a purpose. Brother Glenn mentioned this morning to those that were here when we first started. You're here on purpose. God had a purpose for sending Jesus down here. He had a beginning and an end on this earth. If you are a Christian, you have a beginning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's the beginning. Born again, behold, all things have become new. My old life, I don't live in that anymore. Now everything's new. I have a beginning and an end. You know, Brother Jamie's got an end. You got an end? You got an end on this earth? Let me ask you a question. How will it end with you? How did it begin with you? Are you as fresh in your love relationship with the Lord now? You know, we sang that song, how precious did that grace appear? The hour I first believed. Folks, I remember that hour. Do you remember that hour? We sang a song, y'all sang it regularly, I never shall forget. That hour I first believed, there's never been an hour like that hour. There's never been the 60-minute hour like the hour when I first believed. When I first believed and everything was brand new and my eyes was wide open, there's never been anything like that in my life. I have nothing to compare that to. That was the most awesome hour when I first believed. I come in full measure of the grace of God to save my soul. Nothing equals that in my life. Amen. The only thing that will equal that in my life is my resurrection and glorification. Amen. And what you got to be careful of, that hour will diminish. Take heed lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Man, I fight that. Can I say something to you? Don't tell me, well, we know it's hard for you to come up here. It ain't hard for me to come up here. One reason when Herb calls me to come up here that I want to come is I want to show the devil, the world, and myself, hey, I'm going to go do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I can sit here at the house, you know, and get up a little later, but I want to go do this to show the Lord how much he means to me. Yeah. And it ain't hard to do. It's not hard for me to come up here. There's no sufferings for me to do that. I'm telling you right now. I don't give that to people. Oh, well, it's just so hard for you to come. No, it ain't. No, it ain't hard for you to come. You come riding in an air-conditioned car with your belly full. It ain't hard for you to come down here. Now, I know some people's got problems, and I appreciate the faithful that come. I think of Sister Jenny. Man, can you imagine? Just remember Sister Jenny. Tubes and bottles of oxygen and problems, and people taken care of, but she wanted to come. If there's anybody could have laid up and not come, it was her. She wanted to come. She wanted to pray. She wanted to testify. Amen. But she had a good report to me. I want to have that kind of report. You got some straightening in you. Well, what does that word mean, straighten? Well, are you going to sneer? You going to mock? What does that word straighten mean? That word means to be constrained. And it carries the idea of arrested. I'm arrested. You know what Paul called himself after he started going to jail? He wouldn't say, I'm a prisoner of Rome. You'll never read that. What did he say? I'm a prisoner, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm arrested for Jesus Christ's sake. Paul, if anybody could have had the mully grubs, he's in jail. You read that list in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 he went to. He said, I'm the prisoner. I'm arrested in his love. I'm arrested in his service. The Christian has to have some of that. You must have that in your spirit. That is a measure of Christ given to you to be straightened as Christ was, as Paul was, as our Baptist forefathers was when the Roman Catholic Church said, you recant that Baptist or we're going to burn you at the stake. And they said, we're not going to recant. We don't believe in that, the Holy Church of God. And we are not going to submit to their baptism, and we're not going to baptize our babies to that false stuff. And they killed them by the millions. You know why? They were straightened in the fires of Christ. You got some of that? Constrained, arrested. Listen, pained. Jesus was now not in physical pain, but think about Gethsemane, where he prayed, as it were, great drops of blood fell from him to the ground. He was pained to accomplish his Father's will. He said, my soul is sorrowful, exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I don't believe that was a figurative statement. I believe Jesus was literally pained in the Garden of Gethsemane about to die. You know what the Bible says right there in Luke? And there came two angels unto him, strengthening him. Amen. Now, when you get that figured out, you can tell him about it over there. I don't have it figured out. I don't have that figured. Two angels came and strengthened the Creator. You know what he was doing? He was facing Calvary fully in his humanity. Amen. He would not take the God divine power of God. He tasted the measure of Calvary like a sinner suffers in hell for eternity. No God. He wouldn't put the God on him. The angels strengthened him. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation, and they ministered to Jesus Christ right there. He was straightened until it was accomplished, constrained in him. He goes on to say in verse 50, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I'm straightened. Well, excuse me. Verse 49, he said, I'm come to send fire on earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? Now, that fire was kindled in him. It was a burning, consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. It was burning in him. That were love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervent, the elements shall melt. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, with fervent heat. Amen. I've got a fire. I've come to send fire on earth. And what will I if it are to be kindled? You got any fire in you? Is there any fire? Is there any zeal in you? You have any fire in you? He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. How I'm straightened until it be accomplished. Listen to me. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with him. I have partaken in his crucifixion. I'm dead to the world. Galatians 6:14, and the world is dead to me. That's in me. I am dead to that world. You know, people talk about, well, I don't drink liquor no more, and I don't commit adultery no more, and I don't do this, but yet sometimes I slip in it. Well, if you slip in it, you ain't dead to it. You're supposed to be dead, and your life is hid with Christ hid with Christ in God. And so you're crucified with Him. He says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him. Now listen to this. And the power of His resurrection, that I may know Him. Let me give it to you in these little words. Comma. And the power of His resurrection. And. Philippians 3:10, it's there. And the power of His resurrection. Comma. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Comma. Being made. Now listen to me. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you've got the Spirit of Christ. You can't be a Christian without His Spirit. Therefore, you're constrained to the purpose God got you down here for. You have a fire kindled in you. He said, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable. You know what you're doing down here as a Christian? You're being made. Now, you've got a death in Adam you don't have to be made conformable to. You understand that? We spend money not to be conformed to Adam's death. Anybody here went to the doctor lately? Do you go to the doctor so you can die? No. You don't want to be made conformable to Adam's death. But you got that in your nature. That's a curse upon you. You're condemned to die. God said you eat of that tree, that day you shall surely die, and you're going to surely die. But you are made, as a Christian, we're straightened in this fire, being made conformable unto His death. Your life, are you listening, is supposed to be a witness and a testimony and a picture of His death. Amen. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Living in the shadow of the cross. At the cross. Amen. Singing lies. Why don't you rejoice to be made conformable unto His death? Why don't you rejoice to have your mind renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind? Realize that God's got you down here making you conformable unto His death for the world to see that. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Did Jesus deny Himself? You got His Spirit? You deny yourself? Well, if I don't get my way, I'm gonna get mad. Well, who told you can have your way? What if God's way is for you to have trials? For you. What if God's way for you is a way of suffering? You're being made conformable unto His death. Listen to me. If you're a Christian, and I doubt many of us, that claim we are, because the evidence of that is you're made conformable unto His death. Your fellowship in His suffering, the power of His resurrected life is upon you. You've been, as it were, raised from the dead man in Adam that you were. And now these things that you're, and I may preach on this tonight, but you're marked with this. And you're made conformable unto His death, and you're constrained into that fire that is already kindled. He said, listen to me. This is what I opened up with this morning. Jesus said, don't get the thought in your mind that I come down here to this wicked world that hates God, that hates me, they're going to hate you. Amen. He said, marvel not if the world hates you. They hated me before they hate you. He said, don't get it in your mind that I come down here to make you get along with everybody and everybody get along with you, because that's exactly the opposite that I came for. The devil teaches that lie. He said, I come down here to send division, controversy. Listen to me. All this stuff going on today, all these people shooting each other up, all that, you know who they're going to blame? Well, racism is a big deal today. And the guilty culprit starting right out. I'm not a racist, and I'm not a bigot, and I think everybody ought to get preached the gospel. Well, I don't care what skin color or gender you are. But they're blaming white Christians. And that's just the truth. And you won't send that on the internet, stick it out there. They're blaming Christians because we don't believe in sodomy. And we don't believe in abortion. And we don't believe in the government stripping away all your rights. You can't keep and bear arms. And we believe that you could preach the word of God without fear of government. And so they're going to blame us. And we're going to have to wear it, y'all. That division has been put upon us by Jesus Christ. Fire on earth. Let me ask you this morning. Listen to what it says. I am come to send fire on earth. And what will I? He says, I've already lit the fire. He says, I'm showing you the way. I've lit the fire. I'm telling you here this morning, would you rather have fire or peace with the world? What do you want? What will you take? He says, I'm straitened. I'm arrested. I'm constrained to this. Jesus, in effect, said, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly how they're going to react. I know what they're going to do for me. Listen to me, folks. Have you ever been in a situation where the rulers of the church called you to the forefront and you went up there knowing they was fishing to condemn you? And you're going to go to your Golgotha, you're going to go to your Calvary, and you face that dumb. You know what dumb is? What? No, as a lamb to the slaughter, so open he not his mouth. Amen. We don't do real good there. Let me confess our sins. Amen. We don't do real good there. We don't go as a lamb to the slaughter. Uh-uh. No, we go bleating all the way. We go screaming and hollering. Amen. And so we're supposed to be like him. You go through that thing and you know what they're fixing to do. And you just, yeah, you can run from it, but you just take it. You trust him. You don't try to get everybody in the world to jump on your side to make you feel comfortable about somebody else maybe mistreating you. You're not going through this without mistreatment. I've been mistreated, you know, and so if I look at it from an Adamic side, I'm, oh, and I just Facebook and text message and they get it. No. Let me just take it and not say anything about it. Amen. These sure enough witnesses for Jesus that have to tell everybody about what they do, you a witness to your own pride. Can you go do what you do for him, not say anything about it? Can you give to the Lord and whatever that gift might be and not say anything about it? Let not your right hand know what your left hand does in that. Don't you promote yourself. Don't you blow a horn about what you do for his name's sake. Amen. See, that's a false spirit. Jesus said, healed a man. He said, don't tell anybody about it. He made himself of no reputation. My reputation's at stake. Whoa. La-di-da. What about his reputation? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You're supposed to humble yourself. See, you're straightening the fire of Christ. You are supposed to be acting like he was and going through what he went through. Paul said in Philippians 3 over there, he said, if I follow after that I might fill up his sufferings in my body. In Colossians. And so that's what we've been called to. What's it going to be? Fire on earth? Constrained, straightening the fire of Christ? Or peace on earth? You know, he's the problem for the world. Them Jews said, get rid of him, we got the problem set. Jesus said, get rid of me and your problem's going to get bigger. The works that I do, they're going to do greater. Because I go to my Father. And my Father's going to be so pleased. When I go up there, I'm going to dispense to him and there's going to be little Jesuses everywhere. And they're going to be raising the dead. And they're going to be casting out demons. And I was preaching in one place, they're preaching everywhere. They're going to go everywhere preaching the gospel. I'm going to go to my Father. They thought Christ was the problem. They killed him because he was the problem for them. But he's the answer for man's sin. He's the remedy. He's not the problem. But he knows they're going to reject him. He knows they're not going to take him. If he had come down here, see, here's what we want, Adam. I want peace. I want peace. You ain't getting it. Sorry. He didn't save you that you can have peace on earth. He saved you. You bear his name. They hate you. Has anybody read a little history? You ever read Martyrs' Mirrors? You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? You might need to go read that. In Nero's time, they dipped them in oily wax and impaled them on a pole, and he used them for torchlights. Amen. Christians. They got fed to the lions. Amen. In the arena. He blamed them for all the problems of Rome. You can go back and read that. And so what I'm telling you is here this morning is that we need to get our mind right. Think about straighten in the fires of Christ. Verse 52, for from henceforth, Jesus said, there shall be five in one house divided. And we read those scriptures, three against two, two against three, in the very families that we live in. Listen to me, everybody look up here. Some people trying to live two lives. Double-hearted. The old Indians said they speak with a forked tongue. They try to live two lives. They go out into the world and they're friends with the world. They get along real good with them, make happy, jokey, talky, fine, fine, fine. They come down here to the house of God and they try to live with God's people. Two lives. Double standard. Act one way here. You know what the Bible calls that? Hypocrisy. You can't get along with the world that hated our Lord and crucified him in 3.5 years. You're not supposed to get along with them. You know why you do that? Would you like for me to tell us why we do that? So you can make more money. So you can make more money. So you can be more successful. So you can garner more praise. Amen, Brother Jamie. I know, amen. You do that, you compromise Christ to make sure that bunch out there that hates our Lord loves you. Now, I don't mean you don't have to go out there and be mean and say, I'm gonna make sure they hate me. You just go out there and be a Christian, they'll hate you. Yeah. Revelation. Turn over to Revelation. We're straightening the fires of Christ. I want to show you something here this morning. And I'm getting on down. We're getting close. My question is this in you? Does your profession live up? Does the expression of your life live up to the profession of your faith? Lord bless. Do you live like Jesus lived? Is what happened to him, Jesus said, if they've done it to the master, how much more to the disciples? And you're straightened. You wouldn't get out of it if you could. You know, I got a lot of preacher friends that I started out with. I mentioned this last night. When I got saved, we were going through a revival, real revival. That took about three or four years. Preachers, I'm telling you, folks, listen to me tonight. No, this is not an exaggeration. I probably, during that time, there were 25 young men surrendered to preach. Joe McDonald was of that group. From that part of the world, he's the only one still preaching. I had close acquaintances in the ministry. We ministered together. We witnessed together. We went to houses together. We had services together. You can't imagine. You know where they are today? They're living well on this earth, and they're out of the ministry. I'm going to see some of them tomorrow, Lord willing. Some of them surrendered to preach, were adamant about their service to the Lord, but they did not finish the race. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. I have finished my course. I have run the race. I've done whatever all the Lord wanted me to do. They are not preaching. Most of them are not in church. Their constrainment. I wouldn't quit it if I wanted to. You can't succumb to your will or your wife's will. Amen. You or your husband's will. You have to. You're constrained in the fires of Christ. You're bound to this thing. You're sealed to the day of redemption. And that's more than just, I'm what saved, always saved, sealed to the day of redemption. Well, it ain't redemption day yet. How's it working today? Let me read here. Now here's Jesus, here's his spirit. John, the Revelator, verse 12, chapter 1. I turned to see the voice that spake with me.
By the way, you that are asleep, you that don't care, you that are bored, you that are preoccupied here this morning, I love you. But you're in the Lord's house and the Lord's service, and I command the attention of the people in this building.
Amen.
That's not me being arrogant. You're giving that to Him. I ain't worried about little kids. A lot of grown-ups get distracted. The little kid, the little kid. Jesus said, let the little kid do what they do. Listen to me here this morning. You're going to face this Jesus, what I'm fixing to read you.
Amen.
You want to face Him now under grace.
Amen.
You want to face Him now under grace. This is what He says. John said, I turn. Nobody ever seen Him like this. What John was fixing to write to us. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt with the paps, about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Hey, who's sitting on that great white throne over there? That's Him. All judgment's been given to the Son. His head and his hair were white like wool. Listen. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And he had the sound of his voice was as of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's a good picture of getting saved. Listen to me. Eyes as a flame of fire. He said, I have a fire. John said, there's one coming who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus said, I'm straitened till this be accomplished. I come to send a fire on earth, and what will I if it ought to be kindled? And so you look at Him, and He says, my eyes are a flame of fire. You know what He does with those flaming fire of eyes, those feet, that feet burning under brass is judgment. You know what He does? He burns up all the hypocrisy. He burns up all the sneakiness. He burns up all of the lying. He burns up all of the slackers. The slackers. He burns up all of... Now that's Him looking at us right now, preaching. We're preaching. This sharp two-edged sword is going out, and we're preaching His word. He's burning up the slackers. He's dealing with the deceitful people, the slothful people, those that are willing to let everybody else do it and they don't do nothing. He's dealing with those type of people. Jesus said, I'm burning all this up. He sees right through every bit of it. I want to ask you this morning, are you constrained in the fire of Christ? Do you have a measure of that in you? Can you take what God is sending on this earth? Can you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations? Do you rejoice in much you've been made partakers of Christ's sufferings? Do you not count it a strange thing to you when you come under the trials that we're appointed to? It's not only given on you to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for His sake.
Amen.
Can you take that? How do you take that? How's that working in you? Can you rejoice? Has your mind transformed to the place that you rejoice when you're counted worthy to suffer shame for His name's sake? Is that working pretty good? I don't think we're much straightened in that. I don't think we're much constrained right there. I think we're like what we read in the Bible. We're slack right there. We're lame. We're very lame. We can't walk upright as a Christian does. We can't take. And so the Lord said, I'm constrained. What about the glory seekers? What about those seeking self-glory? What about those that are trying to build their reputation? See, He burns all that up. The Lord can't look at you and you have any of that in you. He burns it all up. And so when you read about the judgment, what do you read about the judgment? What do you read in 1 Corinthians 3 about the judgment seat of Christ? Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. If any man's works abide, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Laodicea, He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich.
Do you want to go to God, Jesus being poor? According to His abundant grace, He's given you all things that you that through His poverty you might be rich. You want to go there being poor? No. He said, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed. See, in order to have that, you have to be constrained. You have to be straightened into the fires of Christ. Here's what Jeremiah said. But His word was in my heart, not my thoughts. His word was in my heart as a burning fire. When I'm meditating on the word of God and preach, I don't develop sermons. I develop a thought. I'm too shallow to come up with a sermon. So what I do is preach a thought. I have a fire. And if it's already kindled? What does that mean? I get to thinking about that. And the development of a thought comes into my mind. His word goes to burning in me, burning in my bones, shut up as a burning fire. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Amen. His word was a joy and rejoicing of my heart. Job said, I count His word more than my necessary food. We don't have that. Oh, God, forgive us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. His word is a commandment to you. It directs you. You walk in the Spirit. Listen, you know, I walk in the Spirit singing zippity-doo-dah all the day long. You walk in the Spirit by obeying Him. You do not walk in the Spirit by disobeying Jesus. You do not walk in the Spirit. I don't care. What people's got today is sensationalism. They've got emotional buildup. They call that the Holy Spirit. Jesus burns every bit of that up. And the quietness and the meekness of your heart and mouth are development in your life to the fruit of the Spirit, that you made yourself after the image of Christ, being made conformable unto His death by the grace of God. And we don't have that today. And that's why I say the Spirit, the wind's not blowing. Where the wind's blowing, that's what you see. Where the wind blows, you see people act like that. You have a burden for lost sinners. See, the church is not convicted, dear brethren. We don't have conviction. And we scream and holler and spit and talk about sinners. God has basically turned my message to the church. When Jesus gave the last message to the seven churches of Asia, He did not address sinners. He addressed the churches. The church is His venue. It's the body of Christ. The church is whom Jesus works through. And we must be fired with the fire of Christ. We must have this. It must be in our mind and in our heart. And we must obey His word. I talk to people all the time. They tell me their problem. I tell them the remedy. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Well, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. What are the works of the flesh? What are the works of the flesh? Let's just pick a few out. Hatred. Jealousy. Emulations. Fornication. Adultery. Idolatry. Covetousness. And want to talk to the preacher about what can we do? Well, first thing you can do is repent. Yeah. Repent. You are in the flesh. Yeah. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't obey Him. Our problems are a result of our own rebellion, our own disobedience. God tells you exactly how to act. You get in a situation where you're not, everything's just not kosher for you, He gives you specific commandments on how to act. And what I see in most people is they reject His commandment and do what they want to do. I know. I see it. I understand. I see better than you think I do about how you like that. We want sinners to be saved, but saints are not saved. Amen. Paul told Timothy, for in doing these things, in preaching the word and doing these things, thou shalt both save thyself. Hey, how's your ministry for the Lord? What's in your ministry? How many wrecks are in your ministry? How much have you lived for Jesus Christ on the joyful side, in walking in the Spirit? When we read your legacy, when you read my legacy, how many times have you quit? Do you glory in that? Do you glory in quitting? Do you make something spiritual about quitting on Jesus and coming back later as if nothing happened? Do you glory in that? You know you're going to be tried. Your works are going to be tried by fire, see of what sort they are. You think quitting on Jesus is going to stand the test of the gold, silver, and precious stone? You think that's going to count over there? I got news for you. It ain't going to count. And your attitude when you're gone and your attitude when you come back and how you serve Him from that day forward. It's one thing to have a wreck, folks. It's one thing to have a car wreck, bend your fender up a little bit. It's another thing to get smashed by a train. You get smashed by a train, ain't nothing but the junk heap. A lot of Christians are on the junk heap. Don't glory in it. I'm trying to stop others from going there. I tell people at my church, that stuff you see in other places, I don't want it here. I don't want that infection of an unclean spirit in my church. I don't want people going to the altar not getting nothing. I don't want that in my church. I'm just not going to have it. I will rebuke until they walk out rather than keep bringing that up here. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. We keep coming down here and acting like we're doing business with God and we don't get nothing from Him. We bring a reproach on His name. Amen. We ain't got enough grace to deal with it. Straightened in the fire of Christ. I know. Here's what we want. Preach me a good gospel message that really deals with sinners, and saints are sitting here like whited sepulchers. Sorry. That's just the way it is, folks. And that's my message today to the churches. That's what God's given me. And that's why sinners are not convicted. I don't care what kind of bones you rattle. I don't care what kind of seance you have. I don't care what kind of incantations you do. You're not going to get sinners saved in a dead church.
Amen.
Not going to happen. God does not work that way. He doesn't work that way. I don't care whose door you knock on. I don't care how many times you go. If we're not a fit vessel to bring them in, He won't bring them. God gives the increase.
Amen.
Not what your little plowing, sowing, and plucking. It is God that gives the increase. I've been in church where sinners, the Spirit was there. And He broke hearts. He molded sinners' wills in a visible way. We don't even have that in church where there's strife and contention. There's wickedness and evil work. We're told to love one another with a pure heart fervently. We're told that the greatest commandment of the law is to love God and your neighbor fervently. We don't do that, folks. All right. We're warned, your love waxes cold, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're warned, keep yourself in the love of God, because you can't do it without the love of God. I want sinners saved, but I want the church saved. I want our service saved for Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, I must be constrained by the Spirit, His Spirit, and hit the fire that He kindled on her. He said, I'm going to kindle it, and it's going to burn through you. It's going to burn through you. Everybody goes through the fire. Saints are going through the fire of Jesus' judgment at the Bema Seat. Sinners are going through the fire at the great white throne. And they're going to be hurled into the lake of fire.
Amen.
God in His anger. Have you ever just took something? Have you ever just took something and just smashed it against the wall? Have you ever done that? I have. I've done it. And I was hot. I mean, I was angry. My wife always says, how can you do that and not be sin? I said, I didn't say it wasn't sin. I'm not justifying that. I just did it. Jacob calls it detonating, like a bomb going off. He rebukes me for that quite often. That tendency's in me. God does that righteously. God's going to hurl you into the lake of fire. And with that kind of indignation. And He's right in doing it. You're going through the fire. You're going through the fire. Christians, we're to be constrained in the fire that He's kindled in us. And that's why in the beginning of my message I said, get it out of your mind. You say, well, man, I've known it. Yeah, but see, we forget real easy.
Amen.
We forget the things we ought to remember and remember the things we ought to forget.
Amen.
And you, Peter said, I'm going to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Let me ask you, in these last days of your life, your devotion to the Lord, your service to Him, how's your disposition been? How do you handle division? How do you handle the sufferings? How do you handle His reproach? What's been your, was you like a lamb led to the slaughter like He was? Open not His mouth. You know, that was one of the things, and I'm proved, that was one of the things that the apostles just couldn't, that the disciples couldn't imagine. He won't even speak to His defense. This man done nothing amiss. The thief on the cross said, He's done nothing wrong. Jesus wouldn't even do that. Jesus told Pilate, you know what He told him? This is what you ought to get some of this in you. I'm telling you, as much, it's just a little bitty bit, but I got some of this. He said, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And I'm saying to you today, to that end, that He was crucified on a cross, I was born again to that end. I was born again to that end. To this end was I born. Men reject me. People reject me. People lie on me. People say all manner of evil against me falsely. I was born to that end. I'm supposed to have some of that. I'm supposed to be constrained to it. I'm not supposed to be too double-tongued, double-hearted. Well, no, I mean, I'm going to work this thing out. I'm going to get along with everybody. Really. You're going to compromise. You're an unworthy servant. And so the church, the redeemed, are constrained to the fire that Christ kindled. I want to know how it works in you. If you're here today and you're lost, you're going through fire. Everybody's going through fire. Everybody. Going to judgment. That's fire. That's why them eyes are flaming fire and feet burn like fine brass. We're going to the fire. You're going to face it. I apologize, and I'm through. I apologize for our behavior as Christians. I apologize to the sinners here. All you sinners that's not saved. I'm not, this ain't no show. I apologize to you for the way we've misbehaved in your presence. I've went to my children before and said, I'm sorry. I told my youngest son the other day, I misbehaved. God smote me. Wasn't a full detonation, it was a stun bomb. But I blew. And it wilted him. While I was getting him, and he was guilty, and it worked, I could just see his eyes. And I And I, you know, it just killed me. And so I put it off for 2 or 3 hours. Finally, I had to go. I had to go to him and said, "Son, I'm sorry. That's not right. Your daddy didn't do right there. I don't want you to know I'm sorry." And he said, "Dad, I know you're under a lot of pressure." He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, I don't hold nothing against you. I'm not mad at you." Very meek. But I had to apologize for my behavior, because my son's soul is worth more than my pride.
Amen.
And I said, "Forgive me, son." And I'm telling the sinners here today, on behalf of the church, some of you church members, you're professed Christians, you live like the devil in front of your children. And you need to apologize to God, and without making a reputable apology, we need to apologize to sinners for the way that we as saints live in front of them. And I do it. I tell the churches where I go preach, I tell the sinners, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way we live." But that's not going to excuse you. That's not going to excuse a sinner before Christ at the judgment. He's going to hold you accountable to your transgressions. And so you could come today and ask God to forgive you. You could come and ask the Lord, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I've transgressed. I'm wicked. There's nothing good in me, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I fear that lake of fire. Would you have mercy on me?" You can do that. If the Spirit's drawing you, you can do it. Your will's involved, you can do that. Let's stand together for prayer and a song. We're coming with a song. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, it's your word, not ours. We try to handle it carefully because it's the word of the eternal ages. The eternal God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, quick and powerful. And I pray that in some measure, that through the foolishness of a fallen creature, that you would take your word, and you ordained it to be this way, to preach, to reprove and rebuke, and to encourage people to preach the gospel, to preach to the saints. We pray that you would take your word now and work it in all of our hearts to your honor and glory. Bless the invitation part of our service today. We humbly pray that Jesus might be glorified in his name. Amen. Let's have a song.